Well, as we've been discussing, Treasurer Joe Hockey has been laying out the case for personal income tax cuts. That'll be welcome news to wage earners under siege from so-called bracket creep, which we were just discussing there, pushing taxes into the next bracket as wages rise with inflation. But the Treasurer's pledge has left some industry leaders cold.
The speech today was a bit of a shock to most people who know anything about business. The reality was it repeated all the issues we knew about the tax system. We know that personal tax rates are too high, and effectively we were reiterated with the problems. And again, no solution, no framework to move forward.
That's Alex Malley, Chief Executive from the accountants group CPA Australia. The Australian Industry Group is also calling for more substantial tax reform. Innes Willox is the Chief Executive of the AI Group. Innes, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Hi, Fran. How are you?
I'm terrific. Innes, before Joe Hockey's speech yesterday, you had already said the tax reform debate was, quote, meandering from one light bulb moment to the next. It sounds like you're as frustrated at the government's failure to be more ambitious in this area. As Alex Malley is from the CPA, is business running out of faith in the Treasurer and the government?
No, we're not running out of faith. What we're getting concerned about is that there's no structure to the debate around tax reform. I think everyone is sort of talking around it but not talking about it. And there's a little bit of concern there that we're not at the point of actually doing things when it comes to tax reform. We have to look at tax reform holistically. We can't just sort of dip into the barrel of taxes and pull one out and have a look at it and say, well,
maybe we should look
at this one and not sort of look at it holistically. And that's where our concern is. So the government does have a tax reform white paper due out later this year, and that's welcome. But we're already at the point where government is and others, the opposition, are also sort of ruling things in or out before the tax reform debate can really get started.
I want to come back to some of your ideas on that, but just global markets are in freefall on fears the world is heading for a China-led economic slowdown. Is this really the time to be talking about income tax cuts? Shouldn't the government be husbanding all its resources for a potential downturn, not giving money away again, like in tax cuts?
Well, when you go to bed and you watch the Dow Jones fall by 1,000 points within 5 minutes of opening, you know that there's a problem. What we now have is Australia being encircled by a range of problems. We've seen the China slowdown, and we've seen that market stall. We're seeing oil prices now at $40 or less. We're seeing iron ore price at $55 and likely to drop again. Now, all the indicators are not positive, unfortunately, but we are still seeing growth within the economy. It's quite tepid, but we're still seeing growth. So we're not at the point of wanting to slash our wrists, but we're about to go through some very choppy waters over the next 6 to 12 months. That's the consensus of business. What the government's task is, we believe, and what the role of government, state and federal, is to position the Australian economy to make it attractive to investment, to make us competitive, and to make us productive. And that's what the task of government is. And this is a crisis. And as they say in the classics, don't waste a crisis. And we need to be thinking, how do we position ourselves to ride through these waves, but also position ourselves to take advantage of the growth that will inevitably come.
So don't waste a crisis. You've got a plan. Number one in your plans is to cut company tax, not income tax. Now, a lot of people listening go, oh, here goes business again. They want it all for themselves. Why is that a better place to start than cutting income tax cuts when we know that bracket creep is really going to be a break on the economy as more and more people shift into higher brackets? It'll mean less money for people to spend. It's a real blocker.
Let's put it this way, and I'll give you a story that a CEO gave me last week, Fran, and that was this. He was talking to his regional CEO based in Singapore about an investment in Australia, and the regional CEO said, well, quite frankly, Australia would be about the last place I'd invest at the moment across the region. And he rolled out the laundry list of reasons why, and high taxes, non-competitive taxes, was a key component of that. When you think of it this way, Australia derives the second most tax out of any OECD country out of company tax. The second highest amount of company tax is risen there proportionately. We need to be competitive. When we think of our corporate tax rates at 30% for many and 28.5% for some, it's not competitive, it's not attractive, and it makes it hard for business to think about investing further in Australia. It's a key component. It's not the only one, but it's a key determinant for some businesses because it tells, it sends signals to them about how welcome Australia is. It also inhibits business from being able to invest as much as they would like in new plant, new equipment, and create the jobs so then people can pay income tax.
So that makes sense. But again, if I'm just listening to this, I'm thinking, okay, so we've got to cut company tax, we've got to cut income tax, because that's a block. We're already putting the surplus off, I think, 6 years now, and this will only make it further. How are we going to pay for this? Doesn't that mean more spending cuts to services? Is that the answer here, or is new taxes the answer, and is the GST first amongst those?
Well, you've raised the elephant in the room, and it's the tax that we do need to talk about, and that's why it's disappointing that some are already ruling it out. But it was very positive at the last meeting between the premiers and the prime minister.
But just to stop you for 1 second, we have to be clear that if we are cutting these taxes that are, as you say, anti-productive, we need to put more tax in another area. We need to raise some taxes.
Well, let's go back a little bit, Fran. We've seen the intergenerational report released earlier this year. We've seen the Commission of Audit last year. There's a range of think tanks, business groups, others are all sort of heading in the same direction. Our tax system as it now stands is not fit for purpose. It's a tax system that was developed in the mid 20th century, and we're in a 21st century economy. The world has changed significantly since then. So it's right that we need to review how we go about raising revenue. And a key part of that has got to be consumption. That's where the GST comes into it. And we do need to have the debate around broadening the base and or increasing the rate.
So you'd welcome a suggestion or a hint that the government might be thinking about extending the GST to healthcare?
As long as it's part of a holistic package, and that's what we come back to. We can't be piecemeal about this. We can't sort of think that one little component of this tax debate is going to be the solution to all our problems.
Speaking with Innes Willocks from the AI Group. Innes, in another life, you're a senior advisor to Alexander Downer during the Howard government. Do you think that the Abbott government is finding the reform process more difficult?
Reform is tough. It's never ending. I noticed we've had both John Howard and Paul Keating sort of having arguments in recent weeks about the 80s and who was responsible for what. The political climate has changed. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think that the community's appetite for reform has necessarily diminished. What it needs to do, and it's very hard, so there's no blame being apportioned here, but it's very hard in the current political debate to get cut through and to lay out a long-term case. That doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done and it shouldn't be attempted, and that our political leadership needs to develop a vision and be prepared to sell it and not be seduced by what they call the 24/7 media cycle. I think it's 3/24/7 because the media is changing its story a couple of times a day.
And on another issue, we were expecting Dyson Heydon to tell us today whether he accepts or rejects the union case that he should step down as the Royal Commissioner in the Trade Union Royal Commission over perceived bias. He's still contemplating that. What do you think? Is the Commissioner's position tenable?
Well, I think we've been sort of led down a cul-de-sac a little bit here about Dyson Heydon and his whether he did or didn't accept an invitation to a Liberal Party fundraiser. I think we can put that to one side.
Well, can we, though? I mean, given the arguments about perception now.
I think we can, Fran, because there is a much bigger issue at stake here. The Royal Commission has uncovered significant cases of alleged corruption. They've been examined, and it's really shone a light on the role of some unions and some registered organisations, and to be quite honest, on some business practices as well. And there's a much bigger picture here. I think if the Royal Commissioner were to stand down, and that's his prerogative, then I think we think it's very important that the work of the Royal Commission goes on, because it is uncovering a lot of activity which is unsavoury, to put it at its best. It leads us to think that last week's decision by the Senate to reject the establishment of the Australian Building Construction Commission, the code, was very disappointing, and we would hope that the government can go back to that again.
Innes Willocks, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Innes Willocks is the Chief Executive of the Australian Industry Group.